I think Susanna said she wasn't going to be able to make it today. So I'm just waiting for everybody to join. I don't see Dennis yet before we get started. Okay, well, let's see. Dennis isn't here. He might have a conflicting meeting. Things have been pretty busy of late. So before we get started, I guess I'm just going to kind of wing it here. I'm not really formally the convener, but Susanna asked if one of us could step in and kind of sort of keep the meeting going for today. Yeah, before we get started, just one or two quick updates. The big one I want to mention is that proposals are now open for WolfCon 2026. That is happening in, WolfCon will be in Prague. I believe it's the end of August, beginning of September. And proposals are open with the deadline being March 25th, 2026. That's all I have on that. But yeah, please do feel free to suggest proposals, or if anyone has ideas for proposals that you can think of off the top of your head, this would actually be a really good time to bring those forward. I know Susanna was saying something about wanting to have a SIG meeting on site, which we are certainly amenable to, which will actually be particularly good for European members of the SIG. But yeah, if anyone else has any suggestions, please feel free to, you can always submit or let us know if you have ideas for us to talk about. Because obviously Dennis and I will want to we'll be submitting some content as well. Do we have anybody from the product council here who has an update for the SIG? I know it used to be Kristen, but I don't remember who it is anymore. Who is our liaison?
Yeah, it's not me, but I'm trying to remember who's the liaison right now, too.
Okay, well, if we don't have anybody from the product council, I'm not privy to those conversations, so I don't have any updates to share, but we can certainly try to get a product council update for the next time we meet. I'm pulling this all together at the last minute. Dennis, as I recall, I see Dennis is here. Did we have something that we wanted to discuss with the SIG? I thought there was something, but I couldn't find the ticket in our backlog.
I have some questions. I was just going to look at the topics page first, really quickly here. Because I don't want to hijack things if there's.
No, please hijack because I can take the whole time with that fiscal year thing that I'm working on, and I really don't want to dominate every single meeting with that.
Yeah, so the last topic that we looked at was topic number 190. Well, there were two topics we discussed at the end of our last meeting, and tickets were created for those things. So I don't think there's anything necessarily to discuss right now from the implementers topics page, but there are stories that were created for following up on those things. So the unavailable amount we talked about in the fund screen, being able to have negative balances. We are working on refining a story that was created there. And we also talked about focus when tabbing through fields. I guess when you're adding repeatable field sets, maybe the best way to describe that, like something like fund distribution or location data to POL, where the focus ends up when you've clicked that blue button that adds the field set. So there was a story created for that. So that we mentioned that we are looking into those things. I have a question today about, I don't know if this is a hot topic. Maybe it will be a hot topic, but I also didn't really want to have too much structure around this conversation. So forgive me if it's pretty open-ended, but I wanted to ask the group about alerts and notifications. Currently Folio and, more specifically in acquisitions, we don't have many visual cues for that would draw your attention to things that need to be done. And we don't have obviously like email alerts or any kind of alert queue for folks. And I'm kind of wondering if there are certain workflows for those of you who are, working in Folio now, where you find it challenging to, stay on top of specific tasks because the system is not reminding you that those things need to be done. I know a lot of libraries are using maybe task managers. Like a separate system like Trello or Jira for task management. Maybe a lot of the alerts, the kind of pulling you back to work happens through that system. But I wanted to have a little discussion around workflows where in acquisitions, where this is either kind of noticeably lacking in Folio or where you've come up with workarounds to manage it out of necessity. So it looks like there's just a comment from Lisa here about MSU in the receiving using the receiving note field to notify folks of things as part in the workflow. I'm wondering if you're also having forcing acknowledgement of those notes or maybe just adding it to the field and with an act notify tag maybe.
Yes, we're using it, tagging it with ACK notify. That way we can filter by the notifies and pull them out in priority.
What types of things would qualify as ACK notify?
Things, mostly it's things needed for a class, or it might be a faculty request. And yeah. It's been working for us doing it this way. It's mainly for print, but the ebook processor also puts notify information in the same receiving note, even though we don't technically receive the ebooks. But it's at the top of the screen and in a good place to see the information.
So you add this tag to help you filter for stuff, and then you looking at a specific note field where all the all the notification or the alert like the is supposed to be. So people just kind of know where to look when
Yes.
something has a tag.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Sarah, I see you got your hand up.
Yeah, so we use the receiving note a lot too, and just for the same reasons, because of its placement, and that you can use the acknowledgement, but you don't have to. But it's also just that it's right there in your face, and it makes it from the orders to receiving, and it's in that space. The same thing in a way, I also use the, I think it's called line description in the order, in the POL. And it makes its way to the invoice comment field, I believe, on the invoice line. So I put information there that I need to be reminded of when I go to pay the invoice, that, or like for special attention that I'm paying attention, like to double check that they really did only increase us by 2% or something like that. And then, but what I'm missing, I would say, and I have workarounds outside of Folio for, are ways to alert me that an ongoing order, when it has not been paid, right? So you have an ongoing order and it's a January renewal, and you kind of expect to get the, like, it would be great to be able to put a date in and get an alert that you have not paid for that fiscal year yet for this thing at that point. And then you can go chase it down. It's amazing how many vendors you have to chase to be, you know, to get to make them send you the invoice. Or it goes amiss somehow, their system has sent it to somebody else, or for whatever a variety of reasons. A lot of them are, you know, you get them really regularly, but then there's the ones that you have to chase. And I have a spreadsheet for that, and I track, did I get the invoice? Did I not get the invoice? Oh, who, you know, and I go back through the months and I go, oh, no, I didn't get these invoices. I better contact these people and find out why I don't. Why I haven't paid. So that would be really, really great. And it's also helpful. It would also be great to have something. I have a tag called bill later because EBSCO calls these certain things bill later. And so there again, they don't, they always are kind of fluid in when you exactly get the invoice for them. So again, if there was an easier way to kind of have them start kind of alerting you to the fact that, no, you haven't gotten the invoice yet as we approach the end of the fiscal year. And so as we get closer to the end of the fiscal year, I get more concerned about why I don't have those yet. And so then again, I start reaching out, but it's not a fixed point at which I know that I will be getting them. So having help there too would be really great.
It's interesting. Just thinking about this way you're describing these things, like almost more like reminders than a structured task. It's like not so much something you're going to do with every X type of order or invoice. More like you're noticing something about the invoice, and it might happen regular, semi-regularly. But there are certain ones where you just want to remind yourself of X or Y to come back to something or to focus on a certain thing when you're approving it or whatever the case may be.
It's especially the that I haven't paid yet. So I've tried to think of really, I've tried to, I'm waiting for bulk edit, for example, to be able to bulk edit tags onto things, onto orders, onto POLs. And then I had this idea that every beginning of the fiscal year, I'm going to bulk edit on a tag to every ongoing order of a certain type, right? And that's the majority of them, like FY 27 for next FY 27. And as I go through, I'm going to remove the tag. And then as I move through the fiscal year, I can query on that tag because I can't, or not query, I can filter on that tag because you can't negative filter, right? So I can only positive filter. So then I would filter on that tag. And as I'm progressing through the fiscal year, hopefully the number of things retrieved will approach zero. That would be my aim. And if I don't, that's fine too. Then those things will remain with that tag on it. And next year they will get a next one, the next one, because there are all these ongoing orders where they skip fiscal years. And so then you can start seeing a pattern of that skipping, for example, to be able to better guess as to when you might expect the next one. And because you're carefully counting all your pennies always towards the end of the fiscal year, trying to say, oh, how much money do I have to hold back? Because this one could suddenly deliver something and I will have to pay $600, right? And so you try to kind of gauge a pattern, and that would help me establish some kind of way to see and create a pattern. Those I think of not as subscription, but as standing orders. And so
Yes,
it
they are.
is completely random, or
When
it
you're actually
can
going to
be,
pay for it.
right? And it can be, 10 years apart, and it can be every year six times, but you never know. Like it's hard to predict sometimes. Lisa has something about that too, maybe in the chat. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we use well, not me, but somebody else created a MetaDB report that gives us a serial projection, and it's used for multiple things, like you were saying, chasing down invoices, because one of the columns is the invoice date from last year. So if it's not coming in on time, it gives me a clue to chase it down. Also, we catch things that were maybe paid on the wrong record. If there were two POLs on an invoice, I might see a title in the serial projection and say, I know we paid that. And I can correct that kind of mishap when things aren't paid on the right records.
And the thing about basing it solely on last year's date, I mean, that's a nice guidepost. But you need the flexibility of, so it can be that you're negotiating a new license this year, and that will push that time frame completely out of whack, right? When you have an ongoing license, it might be that during those months, because you've already done all the negotiating those years, it's January 1st. But in that negotiating phase, or maybe it's not you, it's a consortium that's doing the negotiating. That invoice that year for the same thing can be February, can be March. Sometimes they come super early. They'll be October, November, and then the next year it's February, right? So having then the flexibility of having that in folio where then maybe you remove it or you switch it, that you toggle it off. To say, okay, now it's been taken care of, or this year I already took care of it in October. Great. But then next year it might not be until February. And to have some way to control for that so that you're not being alerted at the wrong time, but also the alert is there to continue until it's concluded.
Sorry, Kimberly, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that our continuing resources librarian has just built a new workflow using the agreements app where we're tracking like renewals for new agreements. And we just back the cancellation deadline up a little bit if it's something that we need to address a little bit earlier than we normally do. And as far as like financial commitments, I'm tracking all of that on a spreadsheet. And I do something similar to what Lisa had mentioned about MetaDB. We just got access to MetaDB not too long ago, so I haven't built a report for it, but I'm doing all of that manually in spreadsheets, but it's about the same.
I think we've talked about this before, that a lot of your workflow management is driven by lists of stuff, records, which I think, makes sense in the context that you're saying, Sarah, like with using tags and things, or I guess in agreements or that continuations workflow, Kimberly, you're just mentioning using the date field. I don't want to say exploiting an existing data point to create a list of a more accurate list of the things that need to be worked on, for whatever particular workflow. It seems to be very common practice. And that, I guess, when it comes to alerts or notifications, users are essentially trained to manage their own queue of things, right? Like they are set up with a report or a list, a filtered list of records, and to work through those things.
Yeah, we're using alternative name as an assignment point. To assign
To assign
agreement cards,
staff
yeah. Yes.
to do the specific things.
Yes. So they know that's their agreement over the, their requisition, their thing to work on.
To like work through, make sure things are activated or manage claims or manage renewals or
Yes.
trials or those types of things.
Yes, that, and we have an external accounting system where we have to fill out purchase orders for approval for the university. So that also is built into the workflow.
One thing about that is that, so I also work in agreements, and it's not just the electronic things, it can also be physical things. Well, you don't have the license agreements. So my example with the standing orders is really more about print things, right? You get these, you pay by volume, and the regularity of when you get a volume that you need to pay is very irregular. or we also have print periodicals, and there too we have ones that, especially coming from overseas, are not where the invoice timing can shift quite a bit depending on when the actual publisher has sent it to our jobber, who then gets it to us, and so there too it can vary the months when you get these things and that you have to pay them. And again, it's also about we're just entering this phase right now, right? This is why I'm very like it's on top of mind, is that we're starting to go, okay, the end of the fiscal year is coming. So where are we at? What are we, what do we still have to pay? What do I estimate we need to hold back for potential standing orders? What do I estimate we have to keep in reserve for, print periodicals, all these different things. And so right now I'm right in the middle of trying to sort all through all this. And the nice thing about not having to rely on something like MetaDB and outside things or even spreadsheets is that, so I have plenty of spreadsheets. I am not opposed to spreadsheets whatsoever. Don't misunderstand me. It's that very often those spreadsheets are really for me. So I have all these like cryptic notes that go back, a decade on these things. And I do not want necessarily other people to see them, right? Like, not because they have anything bad on them or anything. It's just that they're my notes, right?
You're
So
not
it's
thinking about it when you work
right.
in
I'm
there,
typing
right?
all kinds of things like, oh, this rep really, like, you have to hound that person, or, who knows? Just cryptic notes that are not comprehensible to anybody but me. And so being able to do a search and filter within Folio, like on the POs or on the POLs, and then have a link to email to somebody and say, okay, click this link and you'll see the things I'm still waiting for. Click this link and you'll see, these are the standing orders that might still come in, and I'm guessing we should hold back $500, or whatever. Is just a really, really nice way to work. So it's better even than lists. Or leaving aside ongoing orders, the same thing I'm doing now also with one-time orders, right? So I go into the POL and I'm doing all kinds of searches about, like, okay, what is a waiting receipt but has been paid and is older than this, right? And I use the to from date, and I get a set. I take that, I email it to somebody, and I say, hey, why aren't these things here? We've already paid for them. Please investigate and make notes accordingly and work this off, right? Like, and I will be doing this now every 2 weeks, every week, every few days as we get closer to the end of June. And so it would be great if I could set up something like that, that then would move the date for me, for example, right? Like, now I have to always redo it, move the date, and so forth. Or it's the reverse, right? We have it, but we haven't paid, or we're waiting, we haven't paid and we haven't received it, and we ordered at the beginning of January and it's for reserves. What is going on? Right? So having things like that, rather than me have to sit here and do this and then email people and say, hey, it'd be great to have it, email that person directly and say, hey, investigate me.
Yeah, like we haven't received this thing. It's been however long. Is the
It's a rush,
cleaning?
reserves, whatever. Give me attention. That would be really cool.
I can see that we're half hour here. I will likely have more questions about this, but we don't have to talk about all of it today. So maybe we'll stop here, and we can move on to another topic. I think that other topic would be Joe's finance related stuff.
Did you get everything covered that you wanted to get covered, Dennis?
For now, yeah, I think this conversation will continue. I'm going to probably be bringing more things to the group to talk about sort of like task workflow management over the next little while. But yeah, this is good for now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still working on the multiple fiscal year payment. In case you missed my request, let me go back here and copy the link. I have a survey that is open through the end of this week. I've already got 8 responses so far. So thank you to those of you who have responded, but I am collecting more information on orders and invoices over multiple fiscal years. Several of you that are here today have responded, so thank you very much for that. It does look like a few of the questions might be somewhat vague, but I'm also getting a clear sense of the way of the direction that people are going. And I have one or two questions that are that I'd like a little bit more clarity on, but I think they need to be handled kind of conversationally. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen again so you can all see what I'm talking about. I'll pull this up. But basically, I'm trying to understand the nuts and bolts of how things work. So, how is it processed at your institution? And just so you understand where my head is on this, is we've really got two components that we're looking at. One side is the nuts and bolts of actually paying the vendor for the services to be provided. The other side is the accounting side. So I'm happy to answer any questions about the survey, but I also want to take a quick look at where things stand and maybe ask a couple clarifying questions. So with the first area is I'm asking how the vendor's invoice is processed at your institution. And this is really about how you go about paying for what it is you're paying. And again, we're talking specifically about subscriptions where you are splitting payment, where you're paying upfront, but you're splitting that payment over multiple fiscal years. So I've noticed a lot of libraries said that they're being paid upfront out of a library's fund. A follow-up question I have to that is, do you just pay it out of an existing fund, like a standard fund that you would normally apply it? Or do you have a dedicated fund that you use for this sort of thing that you then reconcile at the point of invoice? And I realize that's kind of vague, but like if you have a fund for electronic serials for humanities, for instance, do you just pay it up front out of that and then somehow manage it? Or yeah, go ahead, Anne.
I would say it depends on what the resources you're paying up front. So, we did some one-time upfront payments and we got special funding. So that is coming out of a special fund. Not necessarily a transfer fund, but then if it's an electronic resource that is across the whole library that would come out of the Electronic Resources Fund. So I don't think, I would say it would depend on what the resource is at the time you're paying it as to the actual mechanism as far as fund structure goes. And
Okay,
that
Scott.
probably didn't give you any clearer information.
Not really, but I can take it as an it depends. And Scott, I see you have your hand up as well.
Basically, we use the expense class to track these. And so it gets paid regardless using the correct account, but the correct COA, but it, but we have within the expense classes, we know that we paid this month for August starts, which means 8.9% of it or whatever gets charged, gets put into the transferred as a cost transfer to the as a journal entry into the prepay fund in the next fiscal year. So I don't know if that helps or clarifies anything, but basically it's we're using expense classes to track this.
Okay, and this is something you're currently able to do in Folio.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's helpful because the less complicated new stuff that I have to build, the happier I am. Okay. And then the other question is, do you generate and send a voucher to accounts payable to cut a check for the full amount? And what I'm really going after here, and Scott, I know I got your comment on that, but what I'm really going for here is within Folio, in order to get a voucher, you have to create an invoice. Creating the invoice generates the voucher, and then you have to export it to accounting. And I'm assuming that you would somehow have some sort of mechanism to alert accounts payable, pay this invoice using this fund. And then you come back and reconcile it after the fact. Is that more or less accurate? Or am I completely a misunderstanding? Because at some point a check is going to have to get cut. And I'm just wondering if you use Folio to trigger the process to get the accounts payable to cut that check.
Right now, I process it outside of Folio and only process what needs to be processed in Folio as I go.
Okay. And the reason that I'm asking is I want to avoid, I want to, on the one hand, I want to enable things to work within Folio the way they need to work, but I want to avoid the trap of making it look like things are getting double billed. Because if I'm generating a voucher that goes to, accounting to say pay this bill, and then I'm generating internal invoices to track to do the accounting side of that. It could look like you're paying the invoices twice, and I'm trying to avoid that. That's really what I'm going after. So if I can avoid one half of that, and there's an alternate means of handling this that would simplify things greatly. Okay, tracking the fully paid vendor invoice or the yearly payments from library budgets. Looks like the vast majority of people are wanting to validate that the original invoice was completely paid in full, but also ensure year to year that it is accurately reflected on the balance sheets. That makes sense. It's, yeah, I don't have questions about that. I'm skipping over the comment section because I need to go through those fairly straightforward. It looks very clear that there is no need to generate vouchers. for the yearly transactions and that is managed purely internally. So that's easy enough. The other piece I'm looking at is tracking commitments before money has been allocated to budgets. Because as you know, Folio is only able to encumber in the current fiscal year. And that is by design. So I'm evaluating various mechanisms that we can use to that we can use to identify what commitments exist for various budgets. And I'm trying to do it without breaking Folio's business logic, which is a little bit of a challenge, but it does sound like this. We're going to have some sort of reporting mechanism for that. But I do just a very quick point of interest. Would it be acceptable to use, say, the Lists app to output, if you could use Lists to output commitments for like upcoming commitments by fund for the upcoming fiscal year, would that work?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be okay with lists.
Okay, that's very helpful. Because I think there are things we can do with lists that'll make that work. And I'll make sure that we test that exact use case. Sarah, I see you have your hand up.
So, just to confirm, as somebody who doesn't need this or doesn't want to do this. So these changes are not going to change the process of when I check off export to accounting and I do a voucher export, which I do use to then transmit it to my AP office to trigger them to pay the vendor. That's not going to change. Like we're not talking about changing current workflows as they exist now. We're just talking about adding other workflows to accommodate these other needs.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm talking about. I
Okay.
don't want to rewrite Folio acquisitions, and I think Dennis and I would have a very long conversation if I were to try to do that, because that would just be bad. Because then we'd have to retrain everything. We'd have to rewrite everything. We'd have to rewrite all our tests, and that just sounds like a massive headache that none of us wants. So I'm trying to find the easiest, least painful way of making it so you can pay across multiple fiscal years easily and cleanly, with a few hopefully very simple extensions to Folio acquisitions. But I am very heavily focused on not breaking things because that would be bad. Okay, so this is a little bit. I want to clarify these last two questions because I think it confused people. And basically, where I'm going with this is for the accounting side, when you have paid something and split it over multiple fiscal years, we know the money has already been spent. We know the expenditure has been approved, but you need to apply the payment to the new fiscal year. So the first question really pertains to at the point of fiscal year rollover, if we know you have this already paid commitment that needs to be applied to a given budget, and assuming we're doing it via an invoice because the transaction is going to be an invoice payment transaction so that it appears correctly in the audit logs. Do you want the option to have fiscal year rollover create that in the correct amount for the correct fiscal year? And it would be in an open status. And I'm doing it this way because I realize that not everybody allocates money to budgets exactly at the point of fiscal year rollover. And so we don't want to run into the trap of immediately overspending a budget. But would it be helpful if we know what you have to pay against what budget and for how much? Having the ability to basically create that automatically and have it lined up for approval and expenditure once you green light things. That's this question 17. And this question 18 is the same thing, but having the option to say, go ahead and apply the payment automatically, because again, it's already been approved and the money has already been spent. But it doesn't sound like there's a lot of interest in that second one. And there are a lot of questions about the first one. So that's why I want to clarify that, is so that you don't have to go through and manually create each transaction. And I guess my question is, was I unclear on that? Or is the sense of the group that no, you would much rather create these transactions one by one? And again, with the clarification that these are all optional, because in fiscal year rollover, we have a lot of checkboxes, do this, don't do that. And this would be part of that. You can do this, you don't have to do this. Scott, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I would just say I wouldn't use this, but I just wouldn't use this. Even just a quick example, if I paid an invoice in a foreign currency in the first year and you process an invoice in the next fiscal year for that same amount, you have to have the exchange rate to do it. And otherwise it will post incorrectly. As just one example, but there are lots of other reasons why I wouldn't do this. It's just, I don't post the invoices across fiscal years. I track them separately via the expense class.
Okay, so I would be really curious to understand, we don't have time today, but I would be really curious to understand your whole soup to nuts process and use of expense classes and how you make the accounting work across multiple fiscal years. Is that something you'd be willing to share with us in a future meeting?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
I would greatly appreciate it, because the less I have to mess with this, I think the happier everyone is, just because, so we don't have to relearn a bunch of new things. But yeah, if you'd be willing to do that, I would be extremely happy.
I'm happy to. I think one of the crucial things that makes us different from many others on here is we have a direct feed from Folio into the Oracle system on campus and get a feedback with the payment information that up, and we have a process that does the batch update of the payment information into Folio, so, and marks the invoices paid. So that's one thing where we're very different, I suspect, than many people here who are using external accounting people to transmit things like Anne, I think, and things like that, where you're not transmitting from Folio. You're extracting and transforming it elsewhere.
We extract it from Folio, but we don't get the information back. That's the only thing we don't do.
Yeah. And our extraction goes automatically into Oracle. We don't do anything with it. It's just all managed in Folio.
One of the things on our intermediate roadmap is to build out some APIs. We call them edge APIs that will help facilitate that a little bit more easily. I don't have a release time frame for that, but that is also on our roadmap. And the plan there is to make that bidirectional so that you can both receive and transmit invoice and voucher and payment related information. So that could be something we could look at, but yeah. Kristen, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this. It sounds like some libraries are also like if you have an invoice that covers more than one fiscal year, you're actually asking for two invoices from the vendor or you're somehow breaking it up so that you're like if you were, you know, if your fiscal year starts July 1st, then you get an invoice for January through June, you pay that, and then in July you submit the second invoice for July through the end of the year, and then pay that at that point in time. Is that what some other people are doing?
Yeah, I did get a little bit of feedback to that effect as well. There's a little bit of both, but sometimes vendors want one invoice all paid up front, and then the institution is responsible for managing the accounting side of things.
Yeah.
But other institutions do negotiate, you know, bill us for X amount now and bill us for X amount then. And that latter case with multiple invoices over multiple fiscal years, Folio can handle easily today. It's that it's a big part of it is just tracking the known upcoming payments and setting things up so that they can be applied correctly, and then assisting with projections so that you make sure you have enough money in your various accounts. That's a big part of it. And I'm getting there, but I did want to take a little time to get a little bit of clarity on what I've already seen, as well as encourage people to continue filling out this survey. It's going to be open through the end of the day Friday. And the more information I have, I think the better it will be for working out a good solution. And I'm hoping to have a framework of a solution that I can discuss with you at the next SIG meeting or at a subsequent SIG meeting. I'm going to stop my share because that's all I had for that. I think you largely answered my major questions on that. That's really all I had. We have 5 more minutes. Does anybody have anything else they would like to bring up today? Okay, I don't see anyone's hand raised. So, well, thank you, everybody. I believe our next meeting is next Friday. Yeah, our next meeting is next Friday. Don't forget about WolfCon submissions. That those go through.
Joe, I think it's the third to third, isn't it? The first Tuesday, third Friday. So
Oh,
that would be.
maybe it is the first Tuesday, third Friday. You might be right. Is it the third Friday? Why do I not have? I have it on the 13th and 27th. So maybe it's just the 27th. I will check.
I
I'll
think
check.
so.
Yeah, I'll check with Susanna and see what she says.
Thanks.
I can't keep track of it anymore. Okay. But yeah, again, I'll post something in Slack when I've confirmed when our next meeting is. And then don't forget about WolfCon submissions. So thank you, everyone, and I'll give you 4 minutes back.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.